Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the quarterly All-In Payments call. My name is Catherine Jett, and I'll be your moderator for today's call. Now, before we get started and name our presenter, we'll cover a few logistics and the agenda. Next slide, please. Now for the logistics. Now, this call is being recorded and transcribed. And EM participants are not permitted to record the meeting nor capture the transcript per the Ticket Program Agreement Part 2, Section 11, Subsection I. All post-call items, including the recap, the transcript, the audio recording, and the PowerPoint presentation from today's call will be available in a few weeks on the Your Ticket to Work website. If you go to the website, you'll click Training and Events, Archives, and look under the National Calls section, you'll see the All-In Payment calls by year. There will be an interactive question and answer session during today's call, and we want to let you know the chat is not active, but during the Q&A, to ask questions, if you join via the MS Teams application, you will need to click the raise hand icon at the top of the screen. You'll be called upon by the facilitator and will be given access to audio. You will then need to click the mic at the top to unmute. Now, if you joined via the phone, you'll click star 5 to raise your hand. Now, you'll be called upon by the facilitator and given audio access. You'll need to click star 6 to unmute yourself. Next slide, please. Now, we'll have the Q&A session today. And during the Q&A session, please ask only one question for each raised hand. Please do not give ticket holder specifics. You'll send those questions or additional comments to the EM Payments Help Desk at ssa.gov. Closed captions are available today in the MS Teams application. Now, to turn on live captions, click More at the top of the screen and select Language and Speech, then turn on Live Captions. Now, the closed caption link was provided in the Gov Delivery Blast to access the closed captions via the browser. Next slide, please. Now, for our today's agenda, our presenter will cover January ePay file statistics, ePay reminders, payments and help desk reminders, EN payment reminders, resources, then we'll transition to the question and answer session, and then move on to closing remarks. And I see our presenter. It's now my pleasure to introduce our presenter, the TPM EN payments manager, Nicole Black. Take it away, Nicole.
Thank you, Catherine. Welcome, everyone. Next slide, please. To start off the call, we will go over the January ePay file statistics. The last ePay file was completed in March of 2025. For the processing totals, there were 10,470 total claims paid, 3,172 total SSNs paid, with a total amount paid out at $5,884,727, and SSA has started processing the April ePay file. Next slide, please. A few ePay reminders for you all. Phase 1, Milestone 4, is paid via ePay, but ENs must still submit payment requests for Phase 1, Milestones 1 through 3, through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay, and ENs must have passed their annual service and supports review. The ePay file is processed in SSN order, not in provider ID or PID order. And Phase 1, Milestones 4, Phase 2 Milestones, and Outcomes are paid via ePay. ENs are encouraged not to submit for these payment types via the portal without earnings evidence when the EN portion of the ePay file is being processed. By submitting for such payments, it does slow down processing and causes duplicate claim months. Next slide, please. Please allow TPM to pay all available claim months via ePay before requesting payment via the ticket portal. An initial PII violation will remove the EN from ePay for 3 months or one full ePay file. During this time, the EN must submit payment requests via the ticket portal. For example, if an EN violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, say in February, they will be removed from the next ePay file. Next slide, please. Moving on to the payment help desk reminders. As a reminder, for payment inquiries, all communication regarding ticket holders and employment networks must be with suitable EN staff. So that's your approved portal users, program contacts, and signatory authorities. And for personally identifiable information, PII, if an EN submits or needs to submit PII, that submission must be done via fax or mail. Please do not send PII via email. ENs should use the SSA reference number when emailing payment inquiries to the payments help desk. Next slide, thank you. A few more additional reminders regarding the payment help desk. The payments help desk staff cannot provide the following information. That information includes anything regarding a ticket holder's benefits, inquiries, or disputes, information on earnings and SSA's records, claim months needed to complete the proof of relationship, information regarding the ticket holder's current entitlement, and claim months for payment. What the payment help desk can help you with is the reason for the denial or an explanation for an outreach email. Next slide, please. Transitioning on to the EN payments reminders. For unassigned ticket holders, tickets that are unassigned by the EN per Part 3, Section 5D, 2A1 of the Ticket Program Agreement. While an EN may unassign a ticket at any time, doing so means that this EN is no longer providing services or ongoing employment support to that ticket holder. Ongoing support or the availability of ongoing support is a requirement for continued payment. When the EN unassigns the ticket, SSA will cease ticket payments to the EN effective the month prior to the month of ticket unassignment. So if you unassign a ticket in April, your last payable month would be March. So it's the month prior to the month of unassignment. The EN will not be eligible for future payments, including split payments for subsequent work and earnings achieved by the ticket holder, beginning with the month of the ticket unassignment. Next slide, please. When a ticket is unassigned by the ticket holder, this can also be found in Part 3, Section 5D, 2A2 of the Ticket Program Agreement. While a ticket holder may unassign their ticket at any time, the EN of record at the time of unassignment may still benefit from its contributions to the ticket holder's work achievements. So SSA may continue to pay the EN the full payment due for any of the claim months for which the ticket holder's earnings qualify the EN. But this shall not exceed a period for more than 12 months in an 18-month period, beginning with the unassignment month. So the difference here is if the ticket holder unassigns the ticket, you can still continue to request payments post-ticket unassignment. These payments are subject to SSA's evaluation of the EN service contribution, and unless the ticket holder reassigns the ticket prior to the completion of the 12 claim month period. Next slide, please. For tickets that are unassigned, but the ticket holder reassigns it with another EN. So should the ticket holder reassign the ticket to another EN during the 12 claim month period within the 18 months after unassignment, the former EN or ENs may request split payments for the remaining months of the 12 claim month period, beginning with the month the ticket holder reassigns that ticket. In either event, all payment requests shall be accompanied by evidence of work and earnings unless the ticket portal indicates and SSA payment processing confirms that SSA has evidence of work and earnings on record. Next slide, please. So I want to go over now the requirements for the POR form. So when you're completing the POR form and submitting it for your phase one, milestones 1 through 3, the EN name must be on the form along with the PID, the ticket holder name, the ticket holder SSN, the ticket assignment date, and that means the current ticket assignment date. So if you've had this ticket and you may have unassigned it and reassigned it, please make sure when you're submitting your proof of relationship for your phase one, milestones 1 through 3, that you're using the current ticket assignment date for this request. The ticket unassignment date, if applicable, and be sure that the phase one milestone number box is checked on the form. Next slide, please. In addition to what was on the previous slide, the date and description of the services provided to the ticket holder must also be present. Next slide, please. And then finally, at the bottom of the form, please be sure that the EN representative's name, signature, and date are all present. Next slide. So proof of relationship requirements for phase one milestones 1 through 3 when earnings are verified in the system. So when submitting phase one milestones 1 through 3 payment requests, ENs must submit pay stubs or a completed proof of relationship form with detailed services provided to the ticket holder for the requested milestone period. The portal uses a formula to determine potential payment eligibility, but this does not guarantee payment. Payment requests are reviewed and adjudicated based upon real-time earning data that is reported in SSA's database. Next slide, please. The employer-prepared earning statement and supplemental earning statement. Over the next few slides, we are going to go over the information that is required to have these slides submitted and to be considered valid documentation. So we'll start with the supplemental earnings statement, which is SSA Form 1373. So first and foremost, we need the EN name and PID listed up top. We need the ticket holder or the employee name and their SSN. We need the pay period beginning and ending dates, the date that the ticket holder was paid, the amount of hours worked, their hourly pay rate, if applicable, the withholdings amount, and then the total gross along with the year-to-date gross earnings. At the bottom portion, you'll notice that we require the employer representative name, their signature and date, and it's very important to make sure that the attestation box is checked at the very bottom. That box reads, by checking this box and signing above, the employer attests that all withholdings required by law have been made for this employee's earnings. So therefore, it is very important to make sure that that box is checked prior to submitting this documentation. Next slide, please. For the employer-prepared earnings statement, for this document, we need to be sure that the ticket holder or the employee name and SSN is listed at the very top. Again, we need the pay period beginning and ending dates, the paid date, the hours worked, the hourly rate, the withholding amount, the total gross, and the year to date. On the bottom portion, you'll see that we need the employer representative name again, their title, the employer's name and address. Again, there's another attestation box that needs to be checked, and then we need the signature and date of that employer representative. Next slide, please. On to our resources. So if you have any questions, please reach us by phone Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, toll free at 866-949-3687 or TTY at 866-833-2967. Option 1 will get you to the beneficiary help desk. Option 2 will get you to the EN payments help desk. And option 3 is the systems help desk. When you receive Gov delivery messages, please save this email address to your safe senders list so that messages do not go into your spam or junk email boxes. And then for email inquiries, for payment issues, you will reach out to EN Payments Help Desk at ssa.gov. For questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website and the ticket portal, it's ensystemshelp at ssa.gov. Please note that the email addresses listed here have been updated, but please make sure that you get the most recent email addresses so that you can maintain communication with us. Next slide, please. And if you have any payment topics, we would like to invite you to share those topics that you'd be interested in discussing through this forum. Our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. Please send your topics to the EN Payment Help Desk at enpayments@ssa.gov. Again, please make note of the updated email address here. Next slide. All right, we are transitioning to our question and answer session. So please remember, if you are asking a question by phone, raise your hand by pressing *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. Then you'll press *6 to unmute yourself. If you're asking a question from Microsoft Teams, raise your hand and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. You will need to click the microphone to unmute yourself. All right, Jalen, let's start with our first question.
Yes, we have Lori. You are now able to activate your audio and ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Or it's my good morning, your good afternoon.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I just want to clarify on these phase ones. I always send in the pay stubs with the cover sheet. Then I have proof of relationship and all the case notes. And I have the cover sheet on that. And occasionally I'll have some kind of supplemental with the correct cover sheet on that. When I go in to the portal and I have this package of information, if it pops up that these claimants are already in the system, can I just ditch the proof of relationship and just submit the pay stubs? I'm just trying to get enough so I don't have like 50 pages that I'm faxing, which is often what happens to me. So
right.
Will you help clarify this? This always gets so confusing to me.
Absolutely. Thank you for your question, Lori. So just to repeat your question back, when you have pay stubs for your phase one, milestones 1 through 3, you want clarification on exactly what documentation needs to be sent in to us when it shows that earnings are verified in the system.
Correct.
Okay, great question. So there's two ways that you can handle that. Keep in mind that for your phase one, milestones 1 through 3, they must be accompanied by proof of relationship. And what that means is they can be accompanied by a pay stub. And if you don't have pay stubs that coincide with the claim month that you are asking for, then that's when the proof of relationship form or documentation is needed. So pay stubs are the gold standard. If you have those, you can forego the other information and yes, just send in those pay stubs.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did that clarify it enough?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks. Jalen, who do we have for our next question?
Yes, we have Casey. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, Nicole and everyone else. Good day to everyone. My question is, and it's a little random, but are there specific maybe time frames that you guys start the e-pay cycle? Is there like, do you have dates or is it just kind of here and there, or are there specific times that you know that you're going to start an e-pay cycle? And if so, is there a way that we can have that information as well so we can plan ahead?
Hi, Casey. I was just writing down my
Hi.
quarters. Okay, so the epay file is done quarterly, and we have a goal as to when it will be done. So traditionally, it's done January, April, July, and October, but those are moving targets, so to speak, because it depends on when we get the information that we need and complete the internal processing before we can actually start the file. So for planning purposes, it's at the usually at the end of those time periods, at like the end of January, end of April, end of July, and end of October. But give or take a few weeks on a week or two on the front or back end of that, again, depending on when we receive all the information we need to actually start processing that file.
All right, that sounds good. That's kind of what I was figuring. It wasn't a set date or anything, so I just wanted to make sure. But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're
Have
welcome.
a good Mother's Day.
Thank you. You as well. Jalen, who do we have next?
Yes, we have Kim next, and I apologize, we went a little out of order, but your video and audio are active, so please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hello. Could
Hi.
you? I listened to you explain, what happens in the event one of our, our clients wishes to unassign our ticket. And I'm in that situation now, so I know I had her sign the unassignment form, and then I have the certification of services. Where do I send that? And do I now go into the portal and unassign her, or do I just send this documentation to you guys and you guys will remove her?
Hi, Kim. Let me clarify your question or make sure I understand it properly. So the ticket holder wants to unassign their ticket, and you have them, they've already completed the unassignment request form, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you just want to fax that in. I need someone to help me on this, on where they send that into. But you don't want to go into the portal and unassign it. Go ahead and submit the documentation and then let the process be completed for it to be unassigned by the actual ticket holder. Because if you go in and unassign it, that's a different process step for any additional or future payments.
Okay, so I have the form in front of me. Like I said, this is going on right now. The number on the form says 703-893-4020. Does that sound about right?
I do not know off the top of my head. Can someone confirm that? And then we can get back to Kim to let her know if that is the correct number to fax it into.
It's correct. This is Kim.
Okay. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks. And then where do I send the certification of services? Because she's been working. And we've worked with her since like 2021. So if there's any payments left, I'd like to get those.
So when you submit your next payment request, you can send them that information with the next payment request.
But if we're on ePay.
Wait until after we finish processing ePay. And then once ePay is finished, if you see that there's some claim months that were not addressed at that time, then you want to go ahead and submit your payment request through the portal for this ticket holder, or via manual payment request, just depending on the timing of everything. And the manual payment request, you would have the certification of services accompanied with that.
All right, you said wait till after ePay is done, then use pay stubs through portal using the what manual? What'd you say after that?
The manual payment request. So depending on your ability to request the payment in the portal, depending on the timing of everything when you submit your next payment request. If you have to use the manual payment request form, you'll submit your certification of services at that time with that payment request.
Okay. Is the manual payment request? I've never seen it. I probably should look at it.
So what, tell me which EIN you're with, and we'll have someone from the help desk reach out to you to give you the clear instructions on what you need to do when submitting the manual payment request and where to find the information.
Okay. Do you want my DUNS number or my, there's the name.
The name and
Okay, it's Suncoast Workforce, but we go by CareerSource Suncoast.
career. I cannot write. CareerSource Suncoast.
Yes.
And are you the payments contact?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll get someone to get that information over to you so that you'll be ready to go.
Thank you very much.
All right, I got all my notes. Thank you. Jalen, who do we have next?
Yes, we have Kevin. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, everybody. Hi. I have a self-employed independent contractor in our program who filed her taxes for 2024. And it looks like in the portal that they have been verified, it shows that she's used 9 trial work months, but we don't have any of the pay stubs or typical W-2 earnings information that we would typically build. Can you tell me the process for billing for an independent contractor in that situation, please?
Hi, Kevin. Thank you for your question. So you have a self-employed ticket holder, but the portal is letting you know that there are earnings available in the system for you to go ahead and request the payment?
Correct.
All right. What you'll need to do is submit your payment request in the portal. And if it's for phase 1, milestone 1 through 3, that payment request needs to be accompanied by proof of relationship.
Okay. So the POR in lieu of any kind of pay stubs that we would typically have.
Correct.
Okay, terrific. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Megan. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Megan?
I'm good. So I always get confused with this, and I haven't really been able to find any guidance on it. We were receiving an outcome payment for a client that's on SSI, but then since then they've gotten SSDI. So they're actively getting a check in SSDI, but they're in non-pay status for SSI. Would we be able to resume our payments?
You will only be able to resume payments when they are in suspense due to non-worker suspense due to worker earnings, or in order to maintain your outcome payments. But while they're working or receiving any type of federal cash benefits, you cannot request any additional payment.
Okay, I didn't know if it was for just like one, or it had to be. It has to be both.
Yeah, they do need to be in suspense and not receiving any more federal cash benefits.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Jalen, and who do we have next?
Next, we have James. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, James. I think you were off of mute, and I think you went back on.
Oh, is that better?
There you go.
All right, sorry. Thank you for taking my question. We have a ticket holder who we have an employer prepared earnings statement for, who is salaried instead of being paid hourly. So the employer left the hours worked and the hourly rate sections blank. Is that an issue?
No, it will not, as long as we have the gross earnings and the year to date on there and the withholdings amount.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Holly. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi. Holly. I have a question similar to Kim. So we have a ticket holder who filled out the paperwork to unassign their ticket, sent it all in, but that was back in like October, November. So how long should that process take? Because they're still showing up on our portal, but we're not actually working with the consumer. At what point is that a concern, or should we refax in the paperwork? I'm just curious what the timeline should be.
So that should, I would refax the paperwork and follow up with a phone call if it is not addressed within a few business days after you send in the fax and get fax confirmation.
Perfect. I just took over the payment, so I wanted to see what the timeline should be. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you. Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Jill. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, Jill. I think you need to unmute. There you go.
I got it. It was being temperamental. Thank you for taking my call. Good afternoon, everyone. I have a twofold question. I'm sorry because I know you already presented this and I got interrupted. If I have the pay stub, do I still need to do that earning statement, or is it in lieu of a pay stub I would have to do the earning statement? Is question number one, and then, where they want the employer contact, I wanted to know if employers are in fact being contacted by Social Security, because I have several customers who didn't disclose, whose employers don't know they have a disability, they're on disability. So I was concerned about the contact there.
Okay, so we'll start with the first part of your question, which is what needs to be sent in to accompany a pay stub or in lieu of a pay stub. So the pay stub is the gold standard. If you have a pay stub, I always recommend sending those in for your phase one milestones 1 through 3. Those can serve as your evidence of earnings as well as your proof of relationship. Should you not have your pay stubs to support the evidence of earnings or to provide as your proof of relationship, that's when an employer prepared earnings statement may be would be necessary if the earnings are not already proven in the system.
Perfect.
All right. So now your second question. Can you restate that one for me?
Yeah. So there was the employer contact on that form, and I wanted to know, what does that mean? Like, is Social Security going to contact the employer for proof of employment? Just concerned for disclosure purposes.
So for the employer prepared earnings statement or the supplemental earnings statement, we do not use that information for TPM to facilitate any payment requests. We don't reach out to the employer. But the employer does need to sign that documentation in order for it to be valid.
Yeah. And so how was the employer notified?
That would be something that you would work with that ticket holder, and the ticket holder would need to get that information completed by their employer.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Irma. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, Nicole. How are y'all doing?
I'm well. How are you, Irma?
Pretty good. So my question is regarding an SSI beneficiary. So he is earning over SGA. But, of course, now that we're on outcome, I have to wait till that amount is over to bring his SSI down to zero. So do I request payment for the month that his earnings are over that threshold, or the month that his SSI is zero?
So you would need to, you can request the payment. It needs to be done within a 24-month period. You think about, we have the 24-month age claim rule. So you have to keep that in mind if you're coming up on an extended period of time where their benefits are, if they're still receiving federal cash benefits and it's a benefit error, like if they haven't been updated. But if everything is like it's supposed to be and the ticket holder is still receiving some type of federal cash benefit, you just need to wait until they are in suspense due to worker earnings before you can resume outcome payment requests.
So, for example, for January, let's say January, he is earning over that amount, but his SSI check is not so it doesn't affect his SSI check till March. So in March, do I request the January?
No, in March, you would request it. We can't pay until the ticket holder is not receiving federal cash benefits. So in March, that's when your ticket holder is no longer receiving any federal cash benefits, then your claim month would be March.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
I confused myself when I was talking to you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Casey. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Sorry, just one more question, Nicole. I'm back in a few slides ago. I just wanted some clarification. If a Benny unassigns with us, let's say January 1st, and they continue to work, we can still continue to bill on them for the next 12 months. Is that what I'm understanding, if they're not assigned with another EN?
Somewhat. So if the ticket holder unassigns the ticket, you can request an additional 12 claim months for an 18-month period post-ticket unassignment, as long as it's not assigned to another EN. If it is assigned to another EN, then we have a possible split payment situation, and then we would have to review the SSN to determine if the split payment is valid, and then take care of the payments that way with both of the ENs in question.
Okay, that makes sense. So if they unassign themselves, let's say in January, and they're continuing to work, right, because we got them back to work and they're continuing over SGA, then we can continue to bill for February, March, April, May, June until next January or December.
Yes. So what you're going to do when this happens is you do need to submit your evidence of earnings, unless they are present in the portal. But you'll also have to submit your certification of services to validate the ongoing payments. So that's something gotcha. That you need to send in with the with your payment request so that we can determine exactly how many payments you would be eligible for. We do have to determine eligibility. It's up to 12 additional claim months.
Gotcha. Makes perfect sense. Thank you so much for clarifying. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Casey. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Octavia. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Thank you. Hi, Octavia. Hi. Octavia, we cannot hear you. We still can't hear you. Octavia, we're going to move on to the next question, and then we'll try to come back to you to see if we can get the audio taken care of. Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Myra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, Myra. How are you? And you are muted.
Thanks so much. My question was, unfortunately, I was on a call, so I did miss a little bit of the beginning of the slideshow. So I was wondering if it could be emailed.
The slideshow will be available on the website in a few weeks, and when it is available, GovDelivery will go out to let you all know so that you can access it then.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. That was my question.
You're welcome. All right, Octavia, let's try again and maybe check to see if the volume's up on your PC. Catherine, do you have any suggestions for Octavia?
Hi, Nicole. Yes, Octavia, if you would leave the call and just rejoin, it may take care of everything.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
All right, Jalen, let's move on to the next question.
We have Mrs. Rosaline. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Hi. I was informed that the client or the ticket holder have to submit the paperwork. We're still having the same process, or like the proof of income and stuff like that, the pay stub.
Are you speaking to they need to report their own earnings, or are you speaking specifically for payment requests? Okay. So it is the responsibility of the ticket holder to be part of the Ticket to Work program to report their earnings monthly to SSA. However, as an employment network, it is often beneficial for you all to gather their earnings information and submit that with your payment request to provide us with the evidence of earnings to go ahead and ensure that you'll be able to receive your payments in a timely fashion. Because as you will recall, for your phase one milestones 1 through 3, those must be submitted through the ticket portal, accompanied with evidence of earnings and proof of relationship for an EN to be eligible for those.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Octavia again, if you would like to try unmuting.
Yes, hello.
Yay! Hi.
Yes, good afternoon, you guys. Okay, so I have a question about a ticket holder. I just assigned a ticket in March. So I was wanting to see, what is the time frame where we could request payments for that ticket holder?
Okay. Thank you for your question, Octavia. Your first available claim month would be April of 2025. So it's the month following ticket assignment date that you're eligible to request your first payment, provided that you have the evidence of earning and proof of relationship necessary.
Okay. And then I tried to send in the information for the ticket holder, but it keeps sending like a block thing where I cannot, it's saying that I cannot send it. So I'm not sure, what do I do when that happens?
Are you meaning from a fax perspective?
No, it's just from the, I can't, when I go into the actual portal and I try to put in the information of the ticket holders, like the SGA and all of that, the earned income, it won't let me do it. So that's why I was kind of confused about what I need to do with that.
Have you reached out to the payment help desk for support on submitting this payment request?
Nope, but I'm going to call them today. Yes,
ma'am. Okay, they should be able to give you some guidance on getting that in.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Justin. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, good morning, or afternoon, I guess. Going back to questions regarding beneficiaries, you know, submitting their wages. It is their job to submit wages to Social Security, but it's also, like you said, beneficial for them to help to meet with us and give them their pay stubs, right? Or give them give us their pay stubs. Does, when it comes to us requesting payments from the ticket portal, is there any benefit to the participant by us submitting their wages, or do both need to happen? They need to report to Social Security. We need to report their Social Security. Like, is there anything that, like, if they don't wage report themselves, but we did it for them through the portal system requesting a payment, does that count as their wage reporting at all, or no? Both teams have to do it.
So here's my answer. I would never encourage anyone not to follow the rules. So it is the ticket holder's responsibility to report their wages monthly.
Yeah.
For the purpose of you getting the information and submitting it, we do key all of the earnings that are provided by the employment networks on behalf of the ticket holders.
Okay, cool. So if they, like, they got busy, something happened, they didn't make it on time, they did meet with us, you know, gave their pay stubs, but they couldn't mail it off for whatever reason to Social Security. By us requesting payments for the month, let's say it happened fresh right there, that would actually technically count as their wage reporting too?
I will say we will enter that data in the system on your behalf of the EN, so their earnings are getting entered. I don't want to say that Yes, it's okay for the ticket holders not to do what one of their requirements.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm always urging people, biggest rule, yeah. wage report. Doesn't matter if you're SI or SSDI. It doesn't matter. Wage report, no matter what.
Correct.
But if something happens, they don't. But for some reason, they get their pay stubs to us. Does it count as their wage reporting or does it not?
I can't speak to that. I just whatever you provide to us, we key those in those earnings. We get it in the system. But I can't speak to what they must or must not do or if there's any type of leverage there for them to skip a month.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And Jalen, who do we have next?
We have H. Lewis. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hello, how are you? I think you are still muted. Click the microphone on the upper right hand of your screen to unmute. All right, we will move on to the next person and we'll circle back to you, H. Lewis. And Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Jay Wilson. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question.
Good afternoon.
My question kind of comes behind the previous one that you just answered in reference to submitting earnings. I have a few ticket clients that I've absorbed from taking on this new position, and several of them are not meeting SGA, but I've been still submitting those tickets. If they're not meeting the SGA, and based on what you told me, is it necessary for me to submit tickets knowing that I will not receive a payment because they haven't met the qualification?
That is correct. I would not submit a payment request if you do not have the evidence of earnings that's necessary to achieve that milestone or that phase two that or outcome that you're looking for. So I'm assuming these are phase two ticket holders.
Yes.
Yes. So you do need SGA. So it doesn't make sense to request that unless you have the adequate earnings level in order to get be able to receive the payment.
Understood. And from the last question, recipients are supposed to be submitting their wages on their own. Where do they submit that to? Do they mail that directly or can they fax it? What would be the easiest way for them to submit their paycheck stubs?
So that's a question I'm not 100% equipped to answer. I know that there's a couple of different ways they can do it. They can submit their information via phone, online, via their MySSA or at the field office. Those are the three that came top of mind to me.
Phone or online?
Yes.
And I guess it would just be FSSA.com, and there's links to upload paycheck stubs.
So the Choose Work website provides information on how the ticket holders can report their earnings. Is there anyone that can give us a little bit of additional guidance for Jay? Specifically, it's off the top of my head. I just know it's the Choose Work website that can provide that information for you. Jamie.
I can continue to do some research. Thank you, Nicole.
Somebody's able to help. Jamie.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Thanks. I was just going to get off of mute. So, sure, if you go to choosework.ssa.gov. We have a whole page on wage reporting that also links to Social Security's main pages about wage reporting. You want to go to our library, which is across the blue banner at the top, and then there are several different items you can choose, and one of those is wage reporting, and we do detail exactly how to do it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that.
No problem.
All right, we have a few minutes left. Who do we have next, Jalen?
Janine, your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Hello. How is everybody doing today? Good to see you, Nicole.
Hi, Janine.
Hey, I have a question. It's going back to the reporting of the earnings. I know that it is not recommended that we actually fax those pay stubs into Social Security for the beneficiaries. That when you have someone that just is just not able to negotiate and navigate through that process of the wage reporting app and all those, I have been known to fax those in for the individual and then tell them that it is their responsibility to follow up and call to make sure that those pay stubs have been received and reported. And I also will send an email or call them and say, hey, let's make that call now and be on the phone and advocate so that we can assure that those benefits, those pay stubs are being recorded to the beneficiaries' records. Is that something that is just really not recommended, or, you know, kind of want to know where my boundaries are as far as helping someone to report those pay stubs?
Thank you for your insight, Janine. That is not something that I can specifically speak to. Is there anyone who can provide additional guidance to Janine, or would we recommend reaching out? So I would say maybe reach out to your ENDT liaison to get additional guidance there, Janine, on what it is that can and cannot be done from an EN perspective as it relates to wage reporting.
Okay. That would probably be a really good idea. But I just know that if I'm not the one that's saying, okay, I've got your pay stubs, let's get it in there and get it reported to Social Security, that sometimes if they don't follow through, then my hands are tied as far as being able to get those pay requests. And so it kind of backs things up sometimes.
But remember, you can always, if you have your pay stubs, you can still get those and submit those for your payment request.
Well, the problem is when the 9-month trial work period ends and they are supposed to go into suspension, if those benefits haven't been recorded by Social Security as being in suspension, then I'm still waiting because it gets denied because it's not in suspension status.
Right. And that's when, you know, as we recommend, as what you're already doing, you're having that proactive conversation, you're on the phone, you're trying to help the ticket holder get the information into the system so that their benefits can be updated. But that is something that the ticket holder has to be an active participant in.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And then also, if anybody needs handouts that gives instructions on how, you know, you give it to the beneficiary on how to set up the MySSA and the apps and everything, you know, I'm willing to share if anybody wants that, and they can call me at Ability First Utah.
Thank you, Janine. We appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We've got time for one more question. Well, I'm sorry, we have time for a couple more. I realize we started a few minutes late. So who do we have next?
We have Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and ask your question.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Good afternoon, Ms. Sandra. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
So my question is, I do understand when a person has been assigned to a VR that you can't bill for any milestone one payments. But now the person is still working. And my question is, I don't know what, I guess, exactly what to bill, if that makes sense. I know I can't do any of the milestones.
So let me see if I'm hearing you correctly. Sandra, work with me here. You have a ticket holder who's working, but they worked with the VR first, and you know that you can't get your phase ones due to the phase ones exclusions when there's VR involvement, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But as an EN, you know you need to request your phase ones before you can move on to your phase twos.
Okay. So I still would have to bill even though I know they won't be approved.
So just go ahead and request your phase one milestone one. And then at that time, the team will go ahead and review everything with that case. And if we are able to confirm or we, you know, see the same thing and we recognize that you are exempt from all of your phase one milestones, they will proactively go ahead and address all of your phase ones for you to get you set up to request your phase two milestone one.
So if I'm understanding correctly, I still would have to bill for the milestone one, two, and three.
You can just do your phase one milestone one and we'll take it from there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sandra. Great. Any other questions? We have just a few minutes left. All right. And then I do want to circle back to H. Lewis. Did you still have a question or did someone else ask a question that helped you out? Let's try again. All right, you're still muted. All right, so for H. Lewis, I would ask that you send in your question to the payment help desk, and we will go ahead and get your question addressed for you. And then we can take the next question, Jalen.
Yes, we have Sandra. You can unmute.
Yes, sorry about that. I forgot to ask the second question. The second question is for those who are on SSI. They do not have a trial work period. So we would bill according to the, if their earnings are over the SGA.
For any ticket holder, I'm trying to conceptualize your question. So for any ticket holder you have, it doesn't matter if they're at SGA or not. You still have to start with their phase one milestone ones, correct? And with that, you're looking for trial work level or above. So if you have a new ticket holder that you've assigned, they're making trial work level or above, regardless if they're SSI or SSDI, you're looking for trial work level earnings to go ahead and initiate that first payment for that ticket holder.
Okay. All right.
Did that help? Okay.
That's a lot.
All right. Good. All right. Any other questions before we wrap up today? All right. Next slide, please. Now I'll turn it back over to Catherine for closing remarks.
Thank you, Nicole. Lots of great questions today from everyone. Great participation. So on behalf of the Social Security Administration and the Ticket Program Manager, we'd like to thank everyone for joining today's call. Now, as a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, please email the EM Payments Help Desk at ssa.gov. Thank you again, and have a great day. This concludes today's call.